It's time once again for Bad Radio Reports, spanning the globe to bring you everything you need to know to survive in our complex and ever-changing world. Ignore it, and you could die. And now, your Bad Radio Reports correspondents, Bob Sturm, Dan McDowell, and...
It's a ticket for rip.
All right, it is Bad Radio Reports time for the next segment and a half or so. Tyler Seguin time will be at 2:30.
All right,
ladies. TC is going to present this report, but I will just... can I help you open it up?
I figured you would.
You did all the legwork on this one, but I will say, just to reset... So, you know, we moved stations a while ago, and you know all the technical problems we always have around here, and we don't do a lot of archiving at the station as a whole, I don't think, but our show has tried to for many years, and we've gotten way better at it, and especially since Jake's taken the helm, we've decided, hey, it only costs a couple hundred bucks for, like, so many hour, you know, you can get so much gigabytes, terabytes now.
My main addition is
why not just save everything?
Don't just write sort of funny thing.
Right. Or
maybe a date and a couple descriptive terms.
Anyway, so we used to do archiving way back in the day with DATS, and TC probably started that when he was an intern. And then so there was a box I found featuring a full of DATS, full of some CDs, couple videotapes, and some cassette tapes. Well, I threw one of the unlabeled cassette tapes. Actually, it had a label. It said, Bob and Dan, Hour 2. And I tossed it in there to digitize it and found that it was the first ever time you and I were on the air together. Not the first show.
Not the first show. This is well before that.
The first show was in June of 1999. But a month or two before that is when... They flew me in from Dayton, Ohio, while I still had a job in Dayton. They flew me in for a tryout show. I already had met Bruce, I think, in person. I drove to Indianapolis to meet him from Dayton. Talked to him a few times on the phone.
With a fake mustache and a fake name.
I think when I met him in Indianapolis was the first time he even broached the possibility that I would do this as a two-man show. Had always been on the air just myself in the past. And he said, how would you like to do a two-man show? And in my head, I'm thinking, I wouldn't like that at all. But then what came out of my mouth is, I would absolutely love that because I was trying to leave Dayton to go to Dallas, Texas.
Very similar to my response, I believe, when I was asked, would you like to do middays? Yes. And then he asked another question that I think was, would you like to do a two-man show in middays? And I didn't have any idea what he was saying because all I heard was middays. That sounded great.
Yeah, instead of the night shift, the dead shift.
8 p.m. to 11 p.m., you're going to do a radio show about sports when sports are on, and anybody who likes sports will be watching the sports on TV.
So I'm trying to lower the bar, and I'm trying to tell you, we had never met each other until, like, the day before.
Correct.
Maybe it was Friday evening, so this would be Sunday afternoon. So it's not like we had a lot of show planning. This isn't like now we're thinking about the show and some of the segments we'll do. We've been thinking about it for a week or whatever.
Talking about thinking and thinking about talking.
We didn't know each other at all. We had never met each other. We didn't know each other's personalities. We didn't know a thing.
Man, I feel like you're digging somewhere to put the bar now. Like
now,
you've actually got a bobcat.
With that here. Low bar.
We barely knew English.
What I did is I... Now, this was only like from hour two of our show to also, so... I never found tape one.
Some of the golden hour one is lost forever.
So we found this, and I didn't listen to it. Instead, I handed it to TC, and I said, TC, you listen.
Destroy this immediately.
And then you can present Bad Radio Reports.
I'd like to hear hour one, because I feel like you do get better quite a bit just as you go along, so I have to figure hour one is terrible. And I think the story of this is that it's kind of inspiring to hear this for a young broadcaster.
Okay.
That whenever you hear you today, you guys sound very good at this, and a person probably just assumes, well, I bet they were always really good at this, and now here I have proof that you weren't. And I love knowing that.
Yeah.
I think a great place to start is where we started whenever Dan played briefly audio from this before. It's just the beginning of the tape. You were talking about the NBA playoffs, especially focusing on the announcers, and just the chemistry here whenever you two tell jokes. Like, the jokes are terrible, and then the person receiving the joke is almost worse at it than the person telling the joke.
Uh-huh.
And it's great to listen to.
I wanted to get into a little of some more stuff about the NBA playoffs.
And yeah, we better move, huh?
That's a good transition, though, because Marv Albert also goes in with that bid as well.
Absolutely.
Can he come back to work? Obviously, he came back. He's a great announcer.
Yeah, you didn't care, did you?
Personally, no. I don't care that he's back and working.
I don't think anybody does, by the way.
I'm not boycotting his game.
Yeah.
Although, I'm saying that if I turn on a game and Marv Albert is announcing, I instantly get this disgusting visual in my head that I do not need. Now,
he's got a bra on and panties running around in your head.
You're not helping me, Bob.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm trying to erase that. Now, so I'm thinking with the NBA playoffs, more important than weeding out the bad teams or the pretenders.
It just sounds like a bad podcast to me.
And Marv Albert's going to be weeded out. Because
I love that.
And I said the word panties for some reason, and I apologize.
You're uncomfortable with that word?
20 years later, I'm not any more at peace with the term panties. Watching as the frilly panties run.
So I guess we have evidence you actually like it quite a bit.
Well, you know, not so much.
Another, as far as words that you guys have seemed to have moved on from since, there's a couple things going on in this particular clip, but throughout the tape, Dan said baby a lot, and I thought that was super weird.
Every time we tell our moms we're in radio, we make sure she's not packing heat.
This is coming back from break,
obviously. Good liner.
Welcome back, 7 before 7. Dan Lieberman here with the Sterminator, Bob Sturm, on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket, wrapping things up at 7 tonight, and you can enjoy some exciting ESPN baseball. San Francisco Giants take on the Astros of the Houston.
Yeah, in fact, get your blank tapes ready so maybe we can tape tonight's game just in case history happens.
And see, I want to say that's obviously because you ended the show at 7 and you said 7 until 7. That's the last segment. And that's when you started sounding like the Bob and Dan show that I know. That's a normal thing, but then we'll keep going here.
That's funny. Anyway, Bob Sturm, the Sterminator, will be out at...
stop that.
What? I love Coney the Sterminator,
all right,
baby.
All right.
We'll be out in St. Louis tomorrow covering...
And it was once a segment, I swear, that Dan would say something and punctuate it with...
You babied me, dude.
What? It's great, baby.
Well, you're like Dr. Johnny Fever or something.
I don't know. I have no recollection. I didn't remember that I used the name Dan
what
Lieberman.
What is baby?
Should we reset that? I was still working in Dayton. So, yeah, I flew up here. And I would do a show here Sunday, and I'm sure I went on to do my show there on Monday.
Well, I would like a...
In fact, I was still under contract.
Could we do a Slack channel that's just marks every time Dan's thrown a baby on me? Like, they all had to have been in 99, right?
I would hope that you grew out of that pretty fast. That's always been a verbal tick I was pretty against.
See, I thought when you said this, Dan would be babying the audience. Like, you don't want to miss Sunday Night Baseball, baby. This is going to be great tonight. But no, it was to me.
It usually was, yeah.
Can we hear that again?
Give me a second.
Wow.
Anyway, I used the name Dan Lieberman because apparently I didn't...
You were running
apparently
from the
mob. I thought... Using, now that was the name of the previous program director in Dayton, Lieberman, who I really had great problems with, and vice versa. We didn't like each other.
So an air name.
He was
to
a terrible human. He was a bad human being, in my estimation, in my opinion. And so I used his name as an air name. Still, my name Dan. And, of course, my voice, so...
A weird disguise.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Johnny Manziel...
You were hiding
mustache
in plain sight.
And,
yeah.
Like,
I once
if anyone was from Dayton and heard me here, it would have been pretty easy to put it together.
And especially your PD would not be thrown off by you using his name as an air name.
He wouldn't wonder where you found that.
I might as well have said Dan McDowell, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, seems like it. Tape's ready, so maybe we could tape tonight's game, just in case history happens.
Anyway, Bob Sturm, the Sterminator, will be out at...
stop that.
What? I love Coney the Sterminator,
all right,
baby.
All right,
we'll be out in St. Louis tomorrow covering Stars Hockey.
So I've got a lot of gaffes that I'd like to play.
Play more Funny Dan. That's what I want to hear this whole time.
I have some more Funny Dan, but the one thing I'd like to leave you with at this segment is one thing that I feel weird about playing this because it's not either of you, and I know the point of the tape was to learn more about Bad Radio, but there was one commercial in there that really got me.
Okay.
And it just sounds like a parody of a movie trailer, but apparently this was a real movie that was on TV in 1999.
Tonight, from NBC Motion Pictures, a runaway train out of control.
Loosen up, brakes.
A Russian bomb on board.
Mr. President, you may want to see this.
An entire city in its path.
We've got to continue our efforts to do everything we can to get those people out of there.
In the face of danger, courage is born.
Come on, we'll just keep walking. We'll all walk together.
Atomic Train at 9, 8 Central, NBC Tonight.
Atomic Train.
It sounds like a Rick and Morty parody of a movie.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. I want to see this movie so bad.
Always, Mr. President, you must see this.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Thank you, Wikipedia. Atomic Train, the 1999 disaster thriller.
Yeah.
About an accidental nuclear explosion destroying the city of Denver. It was originally broadcast as a television film on NBC as part of a two-part miniseries.
Two-part.
And it stars Rob Lowe.
What day?
Hell yeah.
What day did it air? Because that's the
May,
day.
I think it's May 7th, 99.
May 16th and 17th, 1999.
Oh, wow. 16th and 17th. Okay, so it must have been for the next week.
So that's the day of this tape.
Movie of the month.
Tonight.
Atomic Train.
That sounds great.
Now they're
find me that movie.
Did the
Trey.
President? Did they go to the president? The president's like, fake. That's fake. I don't believe it. I'll stop that train myself.
Nazis.
We got to find that movie. All right. So you're carrying the rest over, TC?
Yeah, you guys were terrible at teases.
Are we not done?
And we've got more of those terrible teases next on Sports Radio 1310 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
But right now, we have a TC Fleming joint known as Bad Radio Reports, a look at the tryout show of Bob and Dan from May of 1999. A Sunday afternoon up at the old station's headquarters, Rivershawn. And let's go back to TC for more. Chuck?
I wanted to ask you, Bob, as far as where did this fall in the number of tryout shows you had to do? Because you did 10 of these, something like that?
Yeah.
Lots more?
I feel like, especially in April of that year, this was May, but especially in April, it felt like one or two a week, whether it was TV Tim or Elf or who was the dude from Sporting News Radio? That Arnie Spanier and CJ Silas and Mark Falwell. And those are five names.
So they only flew in a couple.
Yeah. I mean, most of them lived here, right?
I was up there with Arnie Spanier, huh?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The Stinking Genius, was that his name?
Hey, at one time, I would have thought that was a pretty big deal.
And you would have been right.
Just because he was overnight guy, right?
And yeah.
If you were like me, you just listen to sports radio all the time, no matter where it was. And
in fact,
I thought those overnight guys had great gigs.
I agree. And yet they all wanted to do middays at the Ticket. Remember Todd Wright? Up all night.
Yeah.
He definitely was trying to
get in here.
He was asking me all the time about getting in at the old Ticket.
And Dan, we were talking off air about this, and you gave some insight that you had as to what Bruce, the program director at the time, liked about this tape. I was wondering if you would just repeat that again, because it was something that was pretty heavy in my mind as I was listening to all this.
Well, later, after getting the job, he did tell me a couple reasons, because I'm like, why? And he said I was the only person, maybe you can verify this, Bob,
who would stand up to me.
Kind of.
Oh, really?
In that,
I was looking for a punchline.
The only person that acted like they were here doing their radio show, like we would both bring it out of breaks, we would both give teases, and he said everybody else who was in acted like they were a guest on the Ticket, and kind of, maybe my blessing and curse is not worried about interrupting you, right? They would wait to be invited to talk.
Yeah.
Or like maybe Bob's given his opinion, and CJ, what do you think about the stars? Or
it's possible
now I throw
that
it to Arnie, and they're kind of waiting for their invitation in, whereas he said, you acted like it was your show, that you both had the show.
It's possible I'm a point guard who dominates the ball a little bit, and I appreciate, Dan, that you call for it.
And I think the coming in and out of breaks kind of is low-key the hardest part of a radio show. Like, people are used to having conversations, and you can do that with some fluidity, but that's not a natural part. Most people in their everyday life are not taking it back from commercials. So a lot of the stuff that I found funny did regard that, and here's an example.
6:45.
Boy, we are rocking.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You have a special edition of the 1 to 3 potpourri.
It's actually 6:44, Bob.
I round up.
All right.
I mean, you can round down if you'd like. That would be Dan. Dan from Cleveland.
Hi, Dan.
On Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And I would be Bob. And by the way, I'm not back tomorrow night. I'll be reporting live and be doing Stars postgame duty. But
what? What am I going to listen to?
I don't know, man. You're going to have to find something. Well, I mean, check out whatever we're playing. Do we know who's doing tomorrow night's show? I don't have any idea, really.
Replay that golf tournament, man. That was exciting today.
Well, hang around. Yeah, okay. We might replay final round coverage.
Casting call tomorrow night.
It's Byron Nelson.
It's just pretty unremarkable. Like, you know,
you're speed talking, and I'm nervous. And the next day, you know what the next day turned out to be? That turned out to be the 8 hours on the airplane at DFW during the lightning storm of Game 6 with St. Louis, which ended up being best known not for my cool anecdote about arriving at the arena as the game was ending, but the race to get the Pantera song to the Stars locker room.
But it was on the plane with you, right?
Yeah, I believe it was. And they needed it so they could hear Pantera and be inspired to go score in overtime and win that series.
And ending segments is also a bit of a challenge.
I mean, any sideline reporter.
Also, it was amazing how many things were different. It's also amazing how many things were exactly the same. See if Dan has changed his opinion at all.
I mean, any sideline reporter, the whole job of sideline reporter is idiotic.
All right, and another thing we need to get into here, and 7 o'clock is quickly approaching here, but with Star Wars, are you jacked up about that at all?
Oh, did you want to do some hot sports opinions on that?
I would.
All right.
I'm on board with Star Wars, but I'm going to be doing some serious distancing next. It is 6:30 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You have Dan and Bob. And this is... No, there's no ticker here, is there? I just panicked. It is 6:30 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
You're a good friend, Andy.
You are too, Daniel.
Do you think looking back that was good?
No, that wasn't great at all. And Space that Force. Was definitely a point in my game where, and boy, how many people are on this list. New voices at The Ticket, in that era especially, were pretty sure the only way to stay on The Ticket was to work in as much awkward ticket shtick lingo as possible to let everyone know you're one of the guys.
You know, it's funny you should say that because I remember reading in the Ticket book that there's some of you talking about that and then Dan saying, yeah, you know, Bob was always really trying to push that on me and I'm kind of above that. I'm just a trailblazer going my own independent way. And then I turn into the first show and I hear this.
All right, now here's the bit. Here's my hot sports opinion.
All right.
If you will.
It's good that you have those.
As I'm trying to pick up ticket terminology here.
Ticket jargon, right.
Ticket jargon. Okay. Bob, tell me, what would you wait in line for?
Dan?
What? What?
That's pretty good, man. I'd hire
787-1310. Well, I would wait in line for, you know, milk.
Coffee, I guess.
Concert I want to go to. Tickets.
No, so allow me to explain, and I believe if we can ever uncover hour one, I'm pretty sure I remember this. Tell me if you do, Bob. It was probably not as significant to you as me. But I swear we started talking about something, maybe it was Star Wars or something, and you said, what's your hot sports opinion? And I was like, what? What do you... I don't think I knew what you were saying.
What does that term even mean?
And I think you told me about it. It was like something you threw at me on the air, and then I think off the air you might have introduced me to the Ticket Wikipedia page or whatever. Back then we had the Ticket Terminology Handbook or something.
The Tictionary, I think it was called.
And then I think for the rest of the day, then I efforted to say it somewhat ironically, saying, so that is my hot sports opinion. If I'm getting ticket
I think you took
here.
Coaching differently than I did when Joe Lecce pulled me aside and said, look, this is really important.
Because if anyone's got it figured out.
Honestly, I bought just about everything he was selling me that first 12 months, and then I tried the same thing on Dan. And
so I think hour one, you had thrown it at me.
Dan went look up
for
his laptop.
And for the rest of the show, I think I tried to use it again a couple of times.
Yeah. You have more fun with Formatics here, ending a segment.
Anyway, I've got a story coming up that is actually... You're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, Cheeseland.
What exact city are you from?
Madison.
Are you from Madison?
The capital city.
Got a story out of Madison, Wisconsin that you may want to stay tuned for.
Outstanding.
So it's 9 minutes till 7 o'clock. Exactly 9 till 7. I don't just round it off.
I don't know.
Like the Sterminator here. He thinks this is some kind of a party here we're at. We're trying to give the news and the information that you need. 9 before 7 o'clock. We're on till 7 tonight. I'm Dan. He's Bob. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Do you remember what the run sheet was?
That is a radio professional right there. So on point. What?
Do you remember what the run sheet was for that hour?
You tell me.
It's first you're talking about the NBA playoffs and just complaining about the announcers. You had a very Check. Bad opinion about Bill Walton then. The second segment, and I believe the third as well, was just Star Wars was about to come out, the Phantom Menace, and you thought it was crazy that people were in line for it.
Check.
Then the fourth segment was something that came up within the last couple months that I had never heard of, but you guys spent a full segment going over the Chad Alvarez microwaving a parrot story.
Which was it fresh right then?
Did you just say you well, how did you introduce that? Like, you're not familiar with it? Or
I know it now, but whenever you mentioned it a month ago, I'd never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, 1999, I didn't know who Barry Alvarez was.
Yeah.
So that story had broken right then, and I was delivering it to Bob?
Yeah, I think Bob he knew about it.
Yeah, I was trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
Did they ask you not to comment?
I mean, the Badgers were going to Rose Bowls. Who cares what his son is doing with a microwave and a parrot?
My favorite part of that tease was halfway through Dan kind of fumbling around. Bob goes, outstanding.
I will admit that Dan's pace of play was throwing me off early
come
in
on,
our...
Come on, pass it over here. Come on,
like,
come on.
For the
rock,
love
buddy.
Of God, kick going. Yeah, that took a little while to get used to.
So the final thing I'd like to focus on is the end of the show. I'll play this clip, and then I just have some questions about what each of you are thinking as this is being said.
All right.
Anyway, it's been a pleasure being on the air.
Yeah,
this
Dan,
afternoon,
very good.
Bob, here at Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Have to do it again sometime.
Okay, maybe.
Wouldn't be bad. All right, very good, Dan. And I would be the Sterminator, and I'll talk to you from St. Louis tomorrow. And thanks to Josh Spalding and Rick Arnett, we will... See you when we see you.
Hi, I'm
Here's
Bob.
Sunday Night Baseball or something off later. Sports Radio 13, Dead the Ticket.
And opening of another great...
Smooth as always.
Yeah, it's probably about the point where we thought, there's no way we're getting this.
I just think that a person listening, whenever Dan's like, yeah, I guess, sort of might take that as Dan's being dismissive of like, hell, I'll work with you again. But knowing... The situation he's in, where he's got a much worse job he's trying to go up from, I guess that he's probably just thrown off that you said that. I was wondering what led you to... Did you end every single tryout show, Bob, by saying, well, maybe we'll do this again? Or did you feel like that had gone better? Do you remember this?
Boy, I wish I did.
Like, do you remember that night thinking, all right, this guy...
No, honestly,
I want to work with him.
I think this might also be in that ticket book where I'm just like, yeah, I mean, it's another guy. And there was a certain point after doing 10 of these where I just, like Bruce asked me who you like doing the show with. And I named all the people that were like me, like Followill, who I was sure we were probably, if we did the show together, it'd be awesome and blah, blah, blah. And then we'd kill each other within a month because we all want to win the high ground, I know more than you do contest. And you were never wired like that. And so I just said, Bruce, I don't know anything about this. So I'm going to completely defer my vote to whatever you think. Pick who you like. And he picked Dan on the complete basis of... He's nothing like you, and that would be way more interesting. And I he's right, right? Or was he?
I'll say yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's all worked
given
out
how it turned out. I was surprised to hear the end, the whole, you know,
awkward dismount.
Maybe we'll do this again. And then Dan being like, eh. And I mean, you did several thousand more times.
Wow. Well, thank you for doing that, TC.
No problem.
Now destroy the tape.
You want to hear him say baby again?
I do.
Well, your blank tape's ready, so maybe we could tape tonight's game, just in case history happens.
Anyway, Bob Sturm, the Sturminator, will be out at...
stop that.
What? I love calling you the Sturminator,
all right,
baby.
All right.
We'll be out in St. Louis tomorrow.
All right.
Jerk.
Everyone's saying that's you were in your swingers era. You...
That was
Vince Vaughn.
Vegas,
was,
baby.
Vince Vaughn was
There's
in your life.
There's a very good chance that that's that influenced me.